The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Adam has he's got one fan that is just a rabid fan of his.
Yeah.
It's him.
It's himself.
Yeah, it's himself.
You know who really likes me?
Adam's number
Adam,
one.
Adam Schaefer.
Me.
Yeah. he's one of the few people I know that looks in the mirror while he masturbates.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Watches himself.
Everything is awesome.
to that song.
When
too.
I look at myself, it's fucking great.
Have you guys seen that movie
Everything
American
is
Psycho?
Awesome.
Oh, God, a long time
ago. What's his name? What's the dude's name?
Oh, yeah.
He's in Batman.
Christian Bale, yeah.
Yeah, when he's doing the chick.
So creepy, and he's like watching himself.
Yeah, he's looking at the beard, he's like flexing at himself.
That's Adam.
That's Adam.
Is that what we figured out?
That's Adam.
Yeah. Has there been like a theme this month of like pick the fuck on me or what?
Oh, my God.
First it was my dad. You guys were picking
dude,
on
him. Shut up. You can't do that. You can't do that to us.
First, you guys gave me a hard time for that. And then,
well, you know, I guess it goes in cycles, though, dude. I feel like.
I don't know.
I was the fat kid, right? You guys are picking the shit out of me for all those months. You know, being the what did Doug call me? I wasn't even
pudgy.
I'm the pudgy.
Yeah, pudgy.
Captain Pudgy over here. You know, I got a lot of resentment here.
Listen,
I'm bringing it to the
you
table.
You fucking ripped into me
right
a lot.
Right into your ass.
Talking about nerdy. And,
yeah, you're right.
Actually, you know,
we all get it.
You know what's funny? I like it when you guys call me nerdy.
I know that's like a backsided compliment, bro. Yeah. That doesn't count.
Shut up.
What are we saying about you? That's bad. That you love yourself.
Yeah, that's a
you
little.
You admit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam. If everybody was like you, they would love themselves.
You know what? It's so bad. I mean, because now what people have nicknamed us? What do they call us? The ego, the nerd, and what do they call Justin? What do they call him?
I don't know.
They called him I don't remember what
the nice guy.
Yeah, the nice guy, the nerd, and the ego.
I like the other guy. The guy behind the guy.
I think we need to let the listeners know the nice guy. I don't think that's very accurate because if we were all out, let's be honest. If we were all out and there was someone being a douchebag, the person most likely to fuck someone up is probably Justin.
Well, you just said it though. He's being a douchebag.
He earned it.
Fucking deserves it.
Yeah. He earned that haymaker.
Yeah.
To the dome.
Otherwise, I'm so nice, dude. Like, I'm very nice.
You are actually quite nice.
So yeah.
To look at.
Thank you.
Mm. And I think Sal's ego is bigger than my ego.
I think so. I think it's very, very much matched.
I completely agree. That's not the only thing that's bigger.
So, it's definitely not your calves.
All right, whip it out.
Zinger.
Zamzo.
Zoom.
Right? Now, where's your comeback? I thought you had
it. Just got
are
him.
Are you going to do the quad shot?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to. The quad shot is next. I don't know if you want to, bro.
Hey, man.
Hey, shit looks a lot bigger on Instagram with filters.
And then we'll all do a glute shot. I'll kill you guys. Huh?
You know what? You know what, dude?
Anybody?
Here's the deal. When I can pose next to a IFBB professional physique competitor.
That's right.
He's a professional now. Yeah, you can.
I've never competed in my life. Okay,
that's fair.
In physique, you know, I look the way I do just because I'm awesome. You know what I mean? It's not my job.
Yeah, plus you're all natural, so that's a lot of kudos to that.
I'm a specimen.
I don't shave my calves for fuck's sake.
No.
And if we took away your veins, that's like an inch
right
off your calves.
Plus, you're a lot older than I am too. So
no, I'm at least a year and a half older. You know what's crazy though?
Summers.
Let's be honest though, bro. Let's be honest.
A couple moons.
Okay, our calves are still not like awesome, but. Bro, where we started with our calves.
Well, I think that's why I'm so proud of them right now. See, and here's the crazy part.
Like, I post the picture. I'm not expecting people to be like, those are massive calves. I'm happy because they are a million times bigger than they were. My calves were so small. My shin was bigger.
So my
then my calf.
My
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was all ankle and knee. My girl said to me, she goes, honey, you got to post like a before and after your calves. I cannot believe how much.
Never.
So
embarrassing.
Well, here's what I said to her. I said, here's the shitty part. Is I just started taking pictures of my calves like maybe a year ago, because before that I was fucking avoided at all costs.
Never.
So I don't have any befores. I don't have anything like from 3-4 years ago, which I would love to show everybody the work that's put in. Right now I just, and it sucks too, because I'm like, yeah, look at my calves. Everyone's like, yeah, they're decent.
It's like you're at normal status.
Yeah, now. I'm like, no, but you don't understand. They were like crazy small.
Hey,
dude.
Do you measure your calves?
I don't measure anything really. I don't
lie.
I swear.
Even
my dick. I don't measure.
Yeah, you do.
The last time I measured my dick was when I was probably like
when you're pumping.
No, like eighth or ninth grade. I mean, it's been a long time. So, I mean,
cock pumping.
That's when that shit matters. You're trying to figure that out. You're like, am I average or am I above average right now? Oh fuck, I'm below average. What do I do with it?
the only time it matters is you start googling
shit and you find they have penis pumps and you fix that problem and you're fine.
Then you have that argument with your buddies. Wait, no. You don't measure from under the balls. You start at the freaking bone and then you come out.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's some still inside. You got to pull it out.
And then I found out when they do all the measurements and stuff like that, that's actually what a hard penis is. And I was measuring when I was flaccid. I was like, oh, I'm fucking good.
Hey, there's apparently some
growers and showers, my friend.
Have you heard of the toilet? Have you guys heard of the toilet paper roll test? Have you heard of this?
The toilet paper roll test.
This is a real thing, apparently. I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up. If you can take a toilet paper roll, if you can fit your dick in the toilet paper roll, then you're average girth. If you can't fit it in, then you're big.
Then you're a weird apparently. Coffee can.
Yeah. So, you know.
Now everyone's going to go home and try that.
I don't know if that's something to be proud of, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try that when I get home.
Yeah,
that does.
You're gonna scare a lot of people. Yeah.
I'll send you guys a picture later.
Man meat between.
I can't get it off now.
It's like one of those Chinese finger traps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one of those Chinese finger traps. Oh shit!
But dude, what's your options? I mean, if it's hanging down to your leg, right, to your like all the way down past your knee, like you have like two options in life:
porn star.
Or just that guy that just shows it off at parties.
So I got a story. So there was a dude that used to, I never saw this myself, but he used to work for the same company we used to work for. So this is how legend travels. Now here's the deal.
I don't know any companies you work for.
Here's the deal. A lot of guys make jokes and be like, oh, I got a big dick. When a dude legit has a massive dick, he shows dude.
Yeah,
he shows
show
people.
It. Yeah. No, for sure. And he pulls it out. We applaud it.
Yeah. Nobody's like, put your dick away. If it's big, you're like, damn, like, bro.
Holy shit, bro.
So there was this guy, apparently, this short, like skinny dude, like you'd never know. And people used to talk about him. And apparently, he'd pull it out and it was like a mini forearm. It would like come out and just lay on the table.
Holy shit.
And he'd show people all the time.
It makes that noise like, food.
And it's great when you're like a skinny little guy too, because then it just looks that much bigger too.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
you're
like 5'6", skinny, 150 pounds.
So he used to like pull it out
like
all the time.
30% cock.
Yeah.
Tripod.
That's exactly, dude. Yeah.
And you'd show people all the time.
I know this poor guy. Well, not poor guy, because obviously he's like insanely hung like a horse.
This blessed guy.
Yeah, this blessed guy. And like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he gave himself the nickname Rock, you know? And it was like, okay, dude, you know, whatever. And so we're all hanging out, and like, of course, he's gonna take it out and show us, because it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. You got a big schlong, dude. Yeah, whatever. Oh, check it out. Then boom, lays it out there on the table. It's like, it's about as big as my forearm, you know.
Jesus.
And but the thing is, dude, the guy would go on dates and everything, and like girls, like it would not last for very long. Like once I'm thinking like after a couple dates, like it gets to the business, and then they actually see it, and like some of them, like
it's too big.
Yeah, they were like scared of it. Yeah. And like he was talking about that. He was like, So I think poor problems, you know. Yeah.
I think it's mostly just a bragging rights to your boys.
It is.
If it's that big,
you just kind of throw it out there. Yeah. Let it swing in the wind.
You know, something I want to, I feel like we've had a lot of people asking about some of our questions that I feel like we've kind of addressed in earlier episodes, but I realize now that we have like 100-something episodes. And there's some topics that I think that we should kind of revisit that we haven't talked about in a long time. And probably the most common one that I get hit up a lot with right now is the cardio debate. And there's a lot of people that keep asking the questions about cardio with me is, you know, do you do fasted cardio? Is fasted better than HIIT cardio? And should I do, at what time should I do this? And
or should I do cardio if I'm trying to gain?
Yes, exactly. So cardio has become like the, is a hot question right now. And I feel like if you've listened to all of our episodes, you've kind of, we've given that information out, but maybe you haven't caught
so
all.
So you want to dedicate an episode to cardio?
Yeah, I would like to kind of, you know, share. Maybe we go around and we share a little bit about our own philosophies, how we utilize cardio. Because I mean, we've all been on the bulk and we've all been on the cut. We've all trained for sports and we've all not trained for sports and just overall health. Like, you know, so what, you know, how have we utilized cardio in our routines and, you know, our philosophies behind that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because cardio is probably one of the most misunderstood aspects of altering the way you look.
Yeah.
It's easily one of the most misunderstood, even in the hardcore fitness realm.
I feel like it's one of the most abused, too.
It's just misunderstood, I mean, on all levels.
Well, it's the easiest to step into, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah,
it's easy. If you're average person, and I know that nobody that's listening is like the average person because we tend to attract
our listeners are pretty sexy.
Yeah,
muscular,
they're sexy. They're intelligent. Best. You know, they have a lot going for them. I'm talking about the people that don't, that sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a very high majority, like you're 80, 90% of people. And all they know, like they're like, okay, weights. Yeah, I know that does stuff for me, but like I'm just, you know, that's intimidating, whatever it is. I'm just going to go walk. I'm just going to go run. And mm-hmm. so then that becomes their thing. And it's just easy, right? You just, okay, I'm going to walk. And then now I can jog a little bit because I'm losing the weight. Now I can run. And so that's like the answer.
That's a great point. I think as we get into, we're going to dive into this topic here. I think you can break cardio, the reasons why people do cardio down, or even the benefits of cardio down into a few categories. Okay, we're going to make them pretty general because there's a lot more than the ones I'm going to name. But cardiovascular activity for health, longevity, cardiovascular activity to burn calories and burn body fat, and then cardiovascular activity to increase athletic performance.
Yes.
I think those are the three main broad categories,
yeah,
right,
fair.
You can plug them into.
Mm-hmm.
So we should talk about all three. All and right. How they're either different or how they cross over into each other.
Okay.
All right. So let's start with, you know, I'll tell you what.
Before we start,
yeah.
I feel like since this is so dedicated to cardio, I need to like have a song for it.
Okay.
Cardio Queen. My heart can't beat as one. No more love on the run.
No more love when you got the runs.
All right, I'm ready.
why don't we each take one of those? You said sports performance, aesthetics, I'll take the
longevity one.
Health and longevity, and
yeah.
I'll take aesthetics. Justin, you take
yeah,
sports performance.
That sounds
since
about
that
right.
Kind of wraps this all up anyway. So.
Yeah.
Why don't you, since health and longevity is the most boring, why don't you go ahead and start? So.
Okay.
Turn your nerd hats on. It's time to party.
Yeah,
so ladies and gentlemen, you're about to get information that is legitimate and backed by science. No. Here's something cool. Here's something cool about cardio. So you've all heard me talk about myostatin. Myostatin is a potent muscle growth regulator. So when myostatin is high, muscle doesn't grow. When myostatin is low, muscles grow. It's so potent, in fact, that if you just blocked myostatin and didn't do shit, you'd build a lot of muscle. Anabolic steroids don't even do this, okay? The reason why I'm talking about this is because cardiovascular activity done regularly lowers overall body myostatin levels. And I want to say that because people have this misconception that cardio doesn't build muscle. Bullshit. If it's done properly, it will tip the body into a more favorable position to build muscle if it's done right.
Very good wording right there.
Okay. Now, that being said, let's talk about longevity here. Longevity is different than performance. In fact, training for maximum performance can be counter to longevity. So if you look at an athlete who's trained at an extremely high level to perform at a particular sport or event, they are not going to have long-term health like someone who eats and trains to live a long life. Now, you can definitely do both. You can definitely do both. And most of us are not looking to be at that top upper 0.1% of training. Now, for me, I like to combine the two quite a bit, and I'm always trying to train to be at that top level. But I noticed that when I incorporate longevity into that, not only do I still get at that level that's high, but I can maintain that level long term. Whereas before, I'd find myself bumping in and out of that level because of overtraining injury. You know, I'd burn myself out, whatever. When it comes to cardio for longevity, frequency and low intensity is important. And they know this from doing studies on people who live the longest. And they do daily activity, daily cardiovascular activity, but it consists of things like walking, hiking, you know, rowing a boat out to fish, you know, stuff like that. It's not connected to running long distances, sprinting, doing hardcore type of cardio. I personally, the type of cardio that I tend to do tends to be very low intensity, and I do it 20, 30 minutes at a time. It's not really a workout. I use the time to meditate, and it's for my health. And I notice I build more muscle, and I stay leaner, and I feel better when I do it that way. So that's where you get the longevity aspect. So if you want to do cardio to just for health, a 20 to 30 minute walk every single day in addition to your normal activity is where it's at for that. So
beautiful.
Yeah,
God, well said. So
yeah, so now
so let me go over what I read in Men's Health.
Yeah.
Great.
So
magazine.
No. It's great that you let out with that, because I'm going to come from the aesthetic point, because this is the world I live in.
Because you're so aesthetic.
I want to point out that in this is definitely a topic I think that we all 100% agree on. It's just that, like, why we separated these in categories is because it's really about, and I think this is why people get so confused. Is you're not going to hear me talk totally different about my theories and philosophy on cardio, but it's not different because I disagree. It's different because I have a different focus, and I have things that are more important to me than overall health. So I think that's important for people. I think people, they ask basic questions like, what's the best cardio to do? When, you know, you ask a trainer like one of us that, I can't answer that to you, because you got to tell me what are your priorities and your goals and what's the main thing that you care about, because based off of what you tell me is based how I'm going to give you your advice, whether I'm going to advise you the way Sal's talking right now or what Justin's about to say or what I'm about to talk about right now. Mm-hmm. And now for me, when I speak in the aesthetic world, because it's men's physique. It's what it's about the way I look. This and that. That doesn't mean that I neglect wanting to perform good or I don't care about being healthy. It just means that that's always a priority for me. So that being said, I use cardio as a tool. And, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind that people don't realize is that neuromuscular adaptation happens to us within 2 to 4 weeks of cardiovascular training. So what that means is our body becomes adapted to whatever modality that we're doing this cardio in. And so it becomes less effective as far as from a calorie and fat burning standpoint than it was the very first time you got on. So if I hopped on a treadmill and I started blasting away, whether it be HIIT, whether it be moderate intensity, whether it be high intensity, doesn't matter. Regardless of what the intensity level is, if when I, the first time I got on that piece of equipment and I started doing something, the very first time I'm getting maximum aesthetic benefits from it the very first time, opposed to the 15th time that I did it. By the 15th time that I've done that exact modality or that way of training cardio wise, my body is becoming way more efficient at being able to, which is why you notice, you know, if you were doing hill sprints the first time you did them, you about died. And then 2-3 months later, they're getting easier and easier for you. Well, that's great because you're showing that you're becoming better at performing. But on an aesthetic thing, when you're wanting your body to change because of it, and you're wanting to maximize fat oxidation because of it, you are getting less and less benefits from that. So that being said, for me, it's always about confusing the body and making sure that my body is not getting used to whatever it is I'm doing. So I utilize HIIT, I utilize fasted, I utilize steady state. And for me, it's really, like I said, it's more like a tool. So, you know, when I actually want to design my weight training and I want to design my nutrition plan around zero cardio. Mm-hmm. So I put together a plan that says, okay, I'm not doing any cardio. I need to figure out what I need to intake as far as food. I need to figure out how many days a week I'm training and how I'm going to split that up to get me to whatever my goals are. And that doesn't matter whether I'm gaining or leaning. So whatever it is, I start my program design around no cardio. And then cardio gets introduced as a tool.
whether it be a plateau breaker, whether it be like I'm using it right now in my reverse diet. So right now I'm reverse dieting from a show and I'm slowly increasing calories. So typically I would not want to be doing cardio right now, but I'm doing cardio right now just to negate the extra intake that I'm intaking right now. So I don't have this huge caloric surplus and my body doesn't put on this extra body fat. But as soon as I kind of level out my metabolism and my body is now used to intaking 4,000 to 4,500 calories again, I will start to taper off and get rid of cardio until it's time for me to cut and get shredded again for a show. And all of that is because I, once again, I want my body to get used to not doing cardio. I want it to not be used to getting on a treadmill and power walking up an incline or doing the Stairmaster for 20 or 30 minutes. Because when I do decide to do that again, I want it to go, oh shit, this is crazy.
Now, I got a question for you, Adam. You, when you say cardio, you're talking about specifically getting on a cardio machine doing cardio. Even when you're not doing cardio, how often do you take your dogs for a walk and stuff like that?
Okay, so I'm good question because I'm a huge neat guy. So I do focus a lot of just on my activity levels and moving around. So which is probably more related to like your steady state, right?
Right. That's why I asked, because I know you have dogs and I know you take them for walks. So you know, how often does that happen?
Every day. So
how long, if you were to accumulate the total amount of walks that you did like that, would it be like 20, 30 minutes?
Okay. So it each day would fluctuate a little bit because I also would include my highest activity actually of like walking or brisk walking or actually getting my steps up and elevating my heart rate a little bit more than resting. Right. Like a walking the dogs is actually more so when I'm teaching a class. So I just now today I got off of teaching four classes in a row. In four classes, within 4 hours, I stepped 13,000 steps. That's more than most. The average American steps 3,500 to 4,000 steps in one whole day.
And the reason why I brought that up is because you're going to hear people. There's going to be people listening right now. They're going to be like, "Oh, Adam doesn't do cardio.
Right? He just works out that 1 hour,
right,
or whatever it is."
And most people don't teach classes like you do. Yes. And a lot of people don't even take dogs for walks and shit every day. So you've got the dude
that
sits.
A great point.
Yeah, the woman or man who sits on the couch. Or, you know, not the couch, but sits at their desk all day long.
You have to remain active is basically the point you're trying to make with that, right?
Yeah, because I don't have dogs, so I don't walk dogs, and I don't teach classes like you do. And so I would venture to say that my activity, including my cardio that I consider cardio every day, is probably equal to yours when you're not doing your quote-unquote
so,
cardio.
What's great is that I actually, you know, I track all of this. So I can give you a day when I don't teach any classes, I don't really walk any dogs. I'll only step about 5,000 steps.
Okay.
So that's a day like.
And that's that's more like an average American.
Yeah. And it's actually even on the higher end of average American. I'm still pretty, you know, active. I'm also animated with the way I talk. So that even makes a difference. People don't realize that. But if you're.
It adds up.
If you're a hand talker, you know, you move your hands a lot or you fidget a lot, like, you know, I'm pretty sure I have ADD, although I've never been diagnosed with it. That burns a lot of calories. It adds up throughout the day. So I'm definitely fidgety. I have 5,000 steps, and a low calorie expenditure day for me is about 2,800 to 3,000. That would be low. So 5,000 steps, 2,800 to 3,000 calories. Now I make an effort to make sure I never do less than 10,000. And that, so it may be walking the dog, or I might just get on a treadmill. And so I don't count that as cardio. So it was a very good question that Sal asked that, because I'm not like getting on there and even breaking a sweat. I might get on my treadmill and literally walk on my treadmill while I'm emailing, doing social media, reading something. I'm walking that slow, like literally like a 3 speed and like on a 1 incline, you know?
It's not deliberate. So like what you're doing, like you're still active.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not like you're accounting for that. You're just like assuming that, you know, I'm always pretty active on some form, you know, some level. Yeah. So like in talking about performance, I have to rev specifically my cardio up when I'm going into conditioning mode. The fact that athletics involves so many specifics.
Yeah. I was just going to say that because it's for longevity, cardio is very general. It gets more specific when you're doing it to burn body fat, but nothing is as specific as doing cardio for athletic performance, because then you got to measure things like VO2 max and output and all that shit, right?
Right. And the problem is that I can't be generalized. I can't take something and say, hey, well, you know, during the week you're going to do X amount of cardio in between your workout sessions and apply that to most of my athletes when I'm not like completely specific to that sport. So if I'm if I'm training, for instance, for football and I'm doing hill sprints or I'm doing these real high intensity type movements that I'm trying to get more explosive work for them, it's in periods. So I'm doing interval training. I'm doing certain things to bring out that explosiveness and performance, but then I'm cutting it off, you know, and then we're working on a lower intensity. And then in between that, you know, you have to recover. So recovery is another element to that, that when you're raising that intensity up, now we have to account for that right afterwards. And so basically it's about the movements and the process. Like it's getting stronger in these movements that produce what you want within the athletic event. And so that's really the main focus for me when I'm training clients or I'm going through this myself is, you know, how am I going to be more explosive in this first step? How am I going to, yes, conditioning is definitely a component to that. So conditioning wise, talking about that adaptation that's 2 week, you know, period or month period or whatever it takes your body to acclimate. And so like you're talking about like double days, or you're talking about hell week, or you're talking about these weeks leading up prior to your sporting events. You know, you do that purposefully to get your body conditioned in order to perform at a pretty high level, but you know, keep the endurance side of it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up I was going to say, when I did, when I used to compete and train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I trained with some pretty high level guys, and I got to the point, I would train 4 days a week, and I got to the point where I could roll at a high intensity, high level for, you know, match to match to match for an hour, hour and a half, which is a lot. I mean, that's wrestling. Now, I went from there at that fitness level, and then I went and did some boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And my endurance was shit for boxing in comparison to how my endurance was for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and vice versa. We'd have guys come in who were great, you know, runners or sprinters or whatever, and on the ground, they'd gas out after 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super specific, you know, the type of cardio training you're doing. It's very specific for your sport.
I think it's also great to point that, I mean, this is why it's so great we did it this way with Justin now talking about that. So I talked about adaptation almost being a bad thing, you know, for what I'm trying to do. And in your case, it's a positive thing because you want...
It's necessary.
Yeah, it is necessary.
You want to become efficient.
Exactly. You want to be... And that's, I think, so important to note. And I think why people get so confused, because they might hear from one trainer who's like, oh, you know, we want to get good at this. We want to do that. We want to show performance and increase and this and that. And then people are like, well, wait a second. He said this and I've been told that, but then this trainer tells me this or I hear that.
Right.
So it really depends on you and what you're trying to do. So it has its benefits and its place for all types, you know, for sure. So
I think a good rule of thumb for most people, and I say most people because most people are just the average person who wants to get in better shape. Number one, what kind of cardio should I do? Pick the one that you like the most. Because you know, waking up at 5 a.m. and swimming in a cold lake might burn more calories than, you know, going for a walk after dinner outside, but you're not going to wake up at 5 a.m. and go swim in a cold lake for very long before you tell yourself, fuck this, right?
Well, yeah, you don't want to burn out, you know, just because you might think that you're going to burn more calories at X, you know, exercise. It's a matter of how often you can do it. And if you think of cardio more as a conditioning element to it, you know, that's something that you're going to want to keep doing, you know, consistently, and then, you know, cycle it out.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, again, second thing I'd say, so pick number one, pick a cardio that you like the most. And number two, this is again for the average person, save the intensity for the weights.
Yes.
So this is for the average person. Again, you're just looking for overall fitness and health. Weights, you got to be intense. Cardio, you don't. Unless, again, like what Justin was saying, unless you're an athlete specifically training for some type of cardiovascular endurance, cardio, save the intensity for the weights, because that's where you're going to get the benefit. If you are always applying intensity to your cardio, you're asking for trouble. Even the highest level freaking endurance athletes in the world, you know, periodize their cardio.
So yeah, you have to.
I have something that's, I don't want to say it's conflicting to that, but it's a little bit different. My approach to cardio, how I introduce. So I tell you guys, I go from no cardio. For me, I'm in the gym 7 days a week at a minimum of 60 minutes. And I'm always trying to maximize my time, and I'm trying not to be in there more than that, as little as possible. And obviously, as I'm getting closer to a show, I kind of have to. So one of the things that I do is the first thing that I actually introduce is 12 to 15 minutes of post-workout HIIT. So that if I the very first bit of
I remember you that's what you always talk about.
Yeah. So the very and I agree with Sal when he's talking about the intensity for sure. But the, for me, it's a time thing. So I would rather spend 30 to 45 or an hour of steady state and just kind of cruise along and read a book and just and burn those extra calories that way. But then that adds an extra 45 to an hour to the already hour I just spent lifting weights. So for me, what I'll do is I'll add the 12 minutes of HIIT post workout first to get some benefits from the cardio from that. And I'll run that for a couple of weeks. And then after that, then I'll start introducing like 30 minutes to 40 minutes of steady state or fasted cardio into my routine. And that way, one, once again, I'm confusing the body. It's not used to that modality. And then on top of that, it's I'm waiting to add more time till later. Because for me, I don't like doing cardio. I'll just be straight up honest. I fucking hate cardio. And I'd rather put the time in the weights.
You know what that makes you?
What's that?
Normal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm always trying to avoid it. For me, I used to always, when I first got in this competing world and I saw all these competitors and it used to be like, they'd all be backstage like, oh my God, the 2 hours a day of all this.
That's so stupid.
Crazy. And I'm like, dude, I would just rather
just eat less.
Yeah. I'd rather be more disciplined on my eating and just eat less. Like I don't got time to be in the gym for 3 hours.
I got two questions for you. So on your, cause you talk about doing like, you'll say you'll do 12 minutes post-workout of HIIT cardio.
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, what are you using typically when you do that? Like what piece of cardio? And number two, how do you break it up?
What do you mean the, how do I do the intervals?
Yeah. So like, are you using elliptical, treadmill, bike? And then how are your intervals broken up?
I'll do either treadmill, elliptical, or Stairmaster are my kind of three go-to. Although I'd still do stuff like warrior ropes and other things with that, but those are probably my go-to. Do that. And then, you know, for me, what I'll do is, so most people have probably, you know, I'm Mr. Not Structured. So most people have this, you know, oh, you sprint for 1 minute, then you walk for 30 seconds. I go as hard as I can until I got to take a breath. And then I'll kind of walk, let my heart rate come down, gather myself. And then I go hard as I can.
Until you're ready to do it again.
Yeah. Mm. It's just easy. Oh. It's just easier for me to manage that than it is to like.
To time it.
Yeah. Time it.
Actually, you know why I like your method better?
Why?
Because it's going to follow how you're feeling closer than the other way. Because I can easily, this is one of the reasons why I'm not against HIIT cardio, but you don't hear me promoting it very often. And I'll tell you why. I've seen way too many people overdo that shit than other forms of cardio besides the freaking get on cardio.
Because they're not really listening to their body. They're just trying to follow a format.
Right. And it's like, you know, I started doing HIIT cardio, but now I'm losing strength in the gym and I'm feeling like, and I'm, you know, so I like your method better.
Yeah.
Like go hard. And then when you think you need to take a break, you know, go slow until you feel like you're ready to go and go again. And then, but all you're doing is you're keeping track of the total 12 minutes or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I think to bring it back to your point of like, you know, what motivates you as an individual, like for me, I can't stand going on the treadmill. I can't stand, you know, and so you're talking about cardio like, oh God, I don't want to even do it and I just want to lift weights. Well, I enjoy, you know, doing Muay Thai. I enjoy doing things that are like aggressive and like punching the shit out of something and wearing myself out, right? Yeah. Like that's great. Like it gets out aggression.
The nice guy.
You know what I'm saying?
The nice guy.
No, I get it all out there. But you know, like that's part of my training. I'm not going to eliminate that just as much as weight training, but it's because it's something I'm motivated to do. And so I'll just kind of work that into the programming.
Well, see, I do every single morning. I wake up, I don't know, 5:30, 6 a.m., and I do 30 minutes of steady state on. I have a stationary bike next to my bed. Now, if you were to see me, look, it's fucking slow. I'm pedaling. My hands aren't even on the handles because I'm either reading or I'm doing social media or I'm doing my you know, something that has to do with the business. So for me, it's just I'm going to get up and do some work, and I can sit on this bike and move while I do it. And that's why I enjoy doing it. And also, by the way, for you, you know, nerdy people out there, repetitive motion, low intensity repetitive motion frees up the brain and increases the ability to perform abstract thought.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why, you know, if you're a writer and you get writer's block, one of the first things I'll tell you to do is go for a long walk.
Yeah.
When you're doing something over and over and over again where you don't have to, like I'm riding a bike, I don't have to think about what I'm doing. It occupies certain parts of the brain and it frees up other parts of the brain. And that's when I have some of my best thoughts. And that's why sometimes I'll be annoying and text you guys at, you know, 5:30 in the morning with some random shit.
No, I think I have something to piggyback off of what you just said too. I personally, in my own personal experience with all the different modalities and ways of attacking cardio, I actually think that has been one of the most effective things for me for overall reducing body fat and leaning out is waking up an extra hour early, getting on there and doing some fasted, low intensity cardio. Now, and there's all kinds of studies, and especially if you're a Lane Norton fan who debates that now because he used to be a fasted guy. And now he talks about the benefits of being fed cardio, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing, and here's what I've realized with myself is when I schedule that or I do that, first of all, I'm getting up an extra hour early that I wouldn't be getting up if I wasn't getting my ass over to the treadmill. And if I don't get my ass up to go over to the treadmill or whatever it is, whether it be a walk at home or treadmill, stairmill, whatever your mode is you want to do, that I would be kind of moseying around the house, getting up slowly, you know, having my cup of coffee, you know, kind of getting ready for work, getting in the car, driving, doing very low. And I haven't really kicked up my metabolism. Getting on there and doing that, I noticed, okay, so let's say in order for me to do it before work, I'd have to get up at 6 a.m. So I have to get up at 6 a.m. I do it from 6 to 7. And because let's say my work life starts at 7 o'clock. Well, let's say Adam doesn't get up for fasted cardio from 6 to 7. He just goes about his work life. Well, from 7 to 10, I'm kind of slow-mo at work. I'm there. I'm going through the motions. I'm moving. I'm doing stuff like that. But my energy levels isn't the same. I'm not as animated. I'm not pushing as hard. I get up. I go do that fasted cardio from 6 to 7. I hit work at 7 o'clock. I'm like way more vibrant. Mm-hmm. I'm moving more, which in turn always ends up burning more calories. And because I track all this shit, I can see that. And so I find getting up in the morning extremely effective for me.
Well, the science, you can find science to support it, and you can find science that says no. And I'm going to break it down in a nutshell. Here it is. Fasted cardio, you will utilize more fat as energy. That's not disputed. That's actually that's pretty much scientific fact. Here's where it gets disputed. Fed cardio tends to be more intense.
Yeah, because you can push harder.
Because you're fed, you got more energy. So overall, if you're doing fed cardio, many times you'll end up burning more calories. And although the percentage of calories are less of them are going to come from fat, overall you're burning more fat. So this is where the argument goes. Now, for me, I'm not going to do intense cardio first thing in the morning. So whether I'm fed or not, I'm going to get on the bike and do my car and read or whatever. So I do it fasted. When you wake up first thing in the morning, a lot of us are in ketosis. And so you're going to get some more of those fatty acids. And then as Adam said, you know, there's two types of people. There's people that wake up in the morning with just enough fucking time to get ready to leave.
That's me.
Yeah, me too.
Or there's people that wake up and like to give themselves 30, 40 minutes to relax or whatever. I'm one of those people, but rather than giving myself the 30, 40 minutes to relax and gather my thoughts, I use it to be a little active. But again, it's low intensity. I'm on there and I'm reading. And this is, you know, I really value that time. Like I got kids, I work a lot. I really value that 30 minutes of, you know, I keep the lights off in my room so I don't wake up my wife, put my headphones on. And I'm telling you, man, I've had some of my best ideas during that time. So something I think a lot of people should do and enjoy.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.